Exodus chapter 13. And our text for this morning is the verse 18. Exodus 14, or 13 and verse 18. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Judgment had been pronounced, and judgment had been executed. The Lord Jehovah had let loose the destroying angel, and not an Egyptian home was spared or could prevent the angel from entering in. Their doors may have been bolted and barred, their shutters securely fastened, but the destroyer still entered into every Egyptian home. The destroyer had come to claim Egypt's firstborn, and nothing would bar his way nor hinder his mission. As a result, the Lord promised, there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. Exodus 11, verse 6. And yet, no such cry was heard within the walls of the homes of the Israelites. Their homes were secure from the destroyer, not with doors and shutters, not with bolts and bars, but with blood. Blood, the blood of the Lamb that had been slain, kept the angel of death at bay so that he could not enter into any home where the blood was on the lintels and the doorposts. And if we could ask any Israelite, what saved you from the destroyer? Each one would have to answer and say, I was saved by the blood of the Lamb. And now that they were saved, it was time to leave the old world behind. That world of slavery and cruel bondage, because the tyrant Pharaoh had been beaten into submission, and the children of Israel were now free. Like all who have been saved by the blood of the Lamb and experienced this glorious freedom, as we read in John 8, verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And now all who have been set free can indeed sing those words, glorious freedom, wonderful freedom. No more in chains of sin I repine. Jesus, the glorious emancipator, now and forever, he shall be mine. We enjoy that glorious freedom. For the Lord has broken the power of canceled sin. He has set the prisoners free. But now that Israel was free to leave Egypt, What next? Indeed, we might ask, what is next for anyone who has just been saved by the blood of the Lamb as they begin a new life? As they begin to go through this world as Christians, how are they to live? What are they to do? How will they know what to do and what is expected of them as believers? Now, regarding that journey on to the land of promise, we can learn from Israel and how the Lord dealt with Israel. One is this morning, first of all, to consider the Lord's path for Israel. From the verse 17, we're told the path the Lord made known to Israel as they came out of Egypt. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. You notice there in that verse 17, we have a very familiar phrase, and it came to pass. These are familiar words, as we've said, that we find repeated throughout Scripture. And perhaps, because they are so familiar, we do not really pay much attention to them. And it came to pass. So what is it that came to pass? And what is the significance of the words here in this context? And it came to pass. If you go back to chapter 11 and verse 1. There in chapter 11 of Exodus and verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. And when you join chapter 11, verse 1, with Exodus 13 and verse 17, you can say it came to pass. Because in the chapter 11 and verse 1, the Lord said that the Pharaoh will let you go. When I bring one more judgment upon him, he will let you go. And we come to chapter 13 and verse 17, and it came to pass. That's the significance of the words. It came to pass. The Lord promised that Israel would be set free, and it came to pass. And believer, whenever the Lord gives us a promise, you can rest assured it will come to pass. The Lord will not give us vain promises, empty promises. But whatever the Lord tells us he will do, it will come to pass. Not only did the freedom and the liberty and the saving of Israel come to pass, but judgment came upon Pharaoh. It came to pass too. And when you apply those words to our lives and what is before us and what is before the ungodly, the Bible speaks about the day of God's wrath and God's judgment. Listen, it will come to pass. You can rest assured that day of God's wrath and God's anger and judgment against sin and sinners, it will come to pass. Just as God's judgment came to pass upon Pharaoh, it will come to pass. We read, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them. There you have the path for Israel. God led them. And here we see, first of all, the leading of Israel. So as Israel took their first steps as a delivered and free people, we see that God led them. There in verse 17, again in verse 18, but God led the people. And again, verse 21, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way. So three times we read that the Lord led Israel. The Lord led the children of Israel. You see, it can be a trying time for anyone who has just experienced the new birth. They maybe feel, well, what do I do now? Now that I'm a Christian. What do I do now? How do I live? What am I supposed to do as a child of God? It can be a trying experience. That's why every Christian needs the Lord to lead them. Here was Israel, just delivered from Egypt, and we read, and God led them. And so when you and I were delivered from our Egypt, from our house of bondage, from our slavery to sin, when the Lord delivered us by the blood of the Lamb, we needed the Lord to lead us. The psalmist said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way, Psalm 37 and verse 23. And the Apostle Paul speaks about the Lord's leading, saying, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If you're led by the Spirit of God, that's an indication, well, you're a child of God. And as children of God, we need to be led. When we come and receive Christ as our Savior, it's not up to us to live whatever way we please. It's not up to us to set our own standards. Many do that today. They set their own standard of holiness. But no, that's not the standard we're to live by. We're to live by God's standard, and we need the Lord to lead us. And to lead us. And what is it that the Spirit of God will use to lead us? Here it is. It's the Word of God. The Word of the Lord. The psalmist makes that very clear. Psalm 119, verse 105, that psalm is all about the Word of God. In verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. If you're walking along an unknown path, say in the countryside somewhere, and it's a dark night and you're not sure of the path, it's an unknown path and it's dark. What do you need? You need light to show the way. You need a flashlight. Well, God's Word is our flashlight. God's Word leads us through this dark world and this path of uncertainty. Yes, the children of Israel come out, and we read, and God led them. God leads us. The Lord leads us, and He'll lead us always in the right way. Not only does the newborn babe in Christ need the Word to grow thereby, but the newborn babe in Christ needs the Word to show the way they are to go. So all through our pilgrim pathway, we ought to be able to say all the way, "My Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide?" He's our guide. He uses His Word to show us the way. That's what He did for Israel. If you look there at the chapter 14, in the opening verses, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea." See? The children of Israel were told what way to go by the Word. "Speak unto the children of Israel." It was the Word that guided them. It was the Word that led them. Or we should say, the Lord led them by His Word. So we have the leading of Israel. Next we notice the lessons for Israel. We're told here about a lesson that Israel learned very quickly. Again, verse 17. "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although it was near." He led them not by the way of the Philistines, although it was near. Now, human reasoning would look at that and say, "Well, we'll take the shortest path. We'll take the road that is nearest to our destination." That was not God's way. And the children of Israel learned that. Once they left Egypt, here was a lesson that God's way is always best. And it will always be the right way. Israel, of course, would have preferred the short way. Instead, God led them, if you like, the long way. And you look at that, you say, well, what's the reasoning there? And we read again in verse 16 or 18, "And God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea." It may have been the long way, but it was God's way. And that's something we learn very quickly. As newborn babes in Christ, as we start out in the pilgrim pathway, we learn very quickly the Lord's way is always the best. To human reasoning, it may not appear that way. You think of the children of Israel. They could have taken the short road, but that wasn't God's way. Instead, the Lord led them the long way, the way of the wilderness. Imagine, this was God's way. He led them by the way of the wilderness, but that was God's way. This shows us that there is no shortcut. There is no short way to blessing. Again, thinking of great revival of 1859. Over there in Ulster, the revival broke out in 1859 in the month of September. But four men led by a man called Jeremiah Manili, met every Friday night in an old schoolhouse. No, not in 1859, but in 1857. And they met every Friday night in that old schoolhouse with an open fire, and they prayed all night for revival. There was no shortcut. There was no short way to blessing. They had to spend every Friday night praying for 2 years before revival came. And so it is with us. There is no shortcut. There's no short way to blessing. And sometimes we're called upon to go through many a wilderness experience, as the children of Israel had to do. Go through a wilderness experience before we get to the place of blessing. And the lesson for Israel was, they simply had to trust the Lord and His leading. A lesson which Paul the Apostle himself learned. You turn there to Acts chapter 16. And there in Acts 16, we see how the Lord led Paul. Acts 16, and there in verse 6, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden. Strong word. And were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. The Holy Spirit forbid them to preach the word in Asia. On the face of that, you would say, that can't be, but they were going to preach the word. Surely the Holy Spirit would support them. But we read they were forbidden to preach the word in Asia. Why? Because it wasn't the Lord's way. And it wasn't the Lord's will. And you look at the next verse. After they were come to Mysia, they said they wanted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Wasn't the Lord's way. To Paul and those with him, it seemed to be the right way. But it wasn't the Lord's way. And we said there that sometimes the Lord's way may lead us through a wilderness, as it was for Israel. And indeed, when you look at this, Acts chapter 16, they were led to Philippi. That was the Lord's way for them to go. And we know what happened at Philippi. Yes, the Lord saved souls, but we read in verse 22 of Acts 16, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. But that was God's way. If it was our choice, we wouldn't have gone that way. We would rather have gone, like Paul, to Asia to preach the word. But that wasn't God's way. And what was God's way? Philippi and prison. That was God's way. It was the right way. And to human reasoning, sometimes it doesn't seem to be the right way. But we have to put our trust and our faith in our God. that His way is always right and His way is always best. Indeed, you look again at Exodus 14 and you think of the children of Israel. They thought that the Lord had led them the wrong way. Because you look at verses 10 to 12 in Exodus 14, verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt? See, Moses, we told you so. But that was God's way. That was God's way. If only they had willed to see how the Lord led them and how the Lord would overthrow Pharaoh and his armies. If only they had waited and put their trust in God and in God's way. No. They came to their own conclusion. This is the wrong way. We should have stayed in Egypt. We could have died in Egypt. It would have been better for us to stay there. Does this not teach us that in the leading of the Lord, we need to trust the Lord impeccably? Set aside human reasoning and trust the Lord. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Remember what we quoted, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And He delighteth in His way. There were better lessons for Israel to learn. But the Lord's way was still the best, if only they would wait and see what God would do for them. If only they would wait instead of being so critical of Moses and the Lord. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads His dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in darkest of night, God leads His dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Need to trust the Lord, and let Him guide us by His Word. That's why we need to be in the Word, to know the mind and the will of God and the way of God. We've seen the leading of Israel and the lessons for Israel, and then we look at the leaving by Israel. They're leaving Egypt. Something is said here about them leaving Egypt. We go again to Exodus 14 and verse 18. And there we read, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. There they are. They're going out of the land of Egypt. That's them leaving Egypt. But we notice how they left. We're told that in that verse 18. We notice, first of all, the way. Regarding the leaving by Israel of Egypt, notice the way. For it says, "And God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up." They didn't go down. They went up. They went up out of Egypt. Israel had been down in the house of bondage, hell, down to a life of slavery. But now it was time for them to go up, and to go up out of Egypt, and through the blood of the Lamb, they've been set free, and now it was time to go up. Isn't that true? Isn't that typical of all who have been saved by the blood of the Lamb and delivered from bondage to the devil and to sin? Whenever we're set free, we go up. The devil is the one who drags us down. The devil would have us to go down into the bottomless pit. But not the child of God, not the blood-bought child of God. The moment we're saved, well, praise the Lord, we start to go up. We start to go up to the land of promise. For the way is growing bright, and our souls are on the wing. We're going by and by to the palace of the King. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now what the Lord said in the Sermon on the Mount, but the broad road leads where? Leads to destruction. And many, there be that find it. Because it's a broad road. Many there be that find it. But we rejoice in that day that the Lord took us from the broad road and put us on the straight and narrow road, and it leads up. We're going up. We're going higher and higher and higher someday. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 4, verse 18. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. That's how it is for us. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. That day is coming. We're going up. As well as the way, we notice also the warriors in that verse 17. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. The word harnessed is a word that means they went up by five in ranks. They went up in ranks of five. If you want to apply that to another lesson that the children of Israel learned, the Lord likes things done decently and in order. And so when they left Egypt, they did so in an orderly fashion. They went out in the ranks of five. Like soldiers marching on to war. And how significant this is, that they went out in ranks of five, just as I say, just like soldiers going to war. Well, here the children of Israel have just started on their new pilgrim journey. And isn't it interesting that they went out this way like soldiers? going to war. Sure is not the way it is. When a soul is saved by grace and washed in the blood and become children of the Lord, and they start out in their pilgrim pathway, and they do so as soldiers of the Lord. Because it's not too long after we're saved that we realize we are in a battle. A battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we fight the world, and we fight the flesh, and we fight the devil every day. We're in a war. The new Christian knows that they have enlisted in the Lord's army and go forth like the children of Israel, harnessed. In 2 Timothy, and there in the chapter 2, Paul again speaking, of course, to his son in the faith. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." See? The Lord has chosen us to be soldiers. And we're all very familiar with the words of Ephesians 6 and verses 10 to 18, where Paul describes the Christian's armor. And you look at the number of times you come across the word against. Against principalities and powers. We're against the enemies of the gospel. We're against the world. We're against the devil. We don't fraternize with them. We're soldiers. We don't fraternize with the enemy. We're to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Christian's not a pacifist. The Christian is to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We've noticed the Lord and his path for Israel. Next, we notice briefly the Lord and his presence with Israel. There in the chapter 13 of Exodus in verse 20, "And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness, and the Lord went before them." We notice that the Lord did not lead Israel out of Egypt and then abandon them. The Lord didn't lead Israel out and then leave them to their own devices. They were going to the land of promise. And the Lord didn't leave Israel to find their own way to the land of promise. No. And the Lord went before them. The Lord went with them. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. There's his presence. Now you can apply that to your life and to mine. We always have the Lord's presence with us. Whenever the Lord saved us, the Lord didn't say, "Well, you're on your own." Not at all. He went with us, and sure, he's been going with us ever since. He's never left us once. He's always with us, as he was with Israel all the way through the wilderness. You notice, first of all, the cloud. The pillar was the visible sign of the Lord's presence with Israel. We read it as called a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. Now listen, it's not two pillars. It's not two different pillars. It's not a pillar of cloud by day and then a different pillar of fire by night. It's the same pillar. What does the Lord say? I am the Lord. I change not. And in the daytime, that pillar was a pillar of cloud hovering over the camp of Israel. Remember what we said last week or the other week? A camp of maybe 2 million Israelites. That was some sight. It was a pillary cloud. You look at Exodus 14 and verse 24. And it came to pass that in the morning, watch, the Lord looked on to the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud. Talking about the same pillar. What do we read again? That the Lord looked on to the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud. If it was two different pillars, it would just be the fiery pillar at night and it would be the cloudy pillar at day. But we're told here that the Lord looked through the one pillar. It's of fire and of cloud. Cloudy pillar hovered over Israel, guided them by day. Numbers chapter 9 reiterates this. But we read in Numbers 9, and there in verse 12, and they shall leave none of it until the morning. It's Numbers 14. Look at Numbers 14 and verse 14. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thy Lord art among this people, that thy Lord art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. Same pillar. Not two different pillars. And I'll take time, but you'll find it also in Nehemiah 9 and verse 12. So when Israel saw the pillar revealed as a cloud by day and as fire by night, they knew the Lord was with them. And when we start out on our pilgrim journey, we have the Lord's presence with us. He'll always be with us. He leads us the way. He doesn't leave us to our own devices. He is with us. We have the cloud. Notice the care. The fact that the pillar was there before the children of Israel, leading them day and night, shows how much the Lord cared about his people. When the Savior sent forth his disciples into all the world to preach the gospel, how often have we quoted those words? The words of the Lord when he said to those disciples, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And there's not a saint in glory. There's not a saint in glory who can say, "The Lord didn't go with me all the way." Rather, they will testify, "The Lord never left me." There the disciples were assured of the Lord's caring presence. No, he'll not leave us alone. He cares too much about us. He cares too much for us. Like Israel. He will be with us in the night. He will lead us through. Why? Because he cares. He'll be with us in our wilderness journey. He'll not leave us. Why? Because he cares. He'll be with us in our deep valleys and will not leave us there. Because he cares. He'll be with us when our road is rough and desolate and difficult. He'll be with us all the way. Why? Because he cares. Think of that. When you're experiencing the wilderness, when you're in the valley, when the storms of life are raging, you can be sure the Lord will stand by you. Does Jesus care when my way is dark? With a nameless dread and fear, as the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to beware? Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud and led them the way by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go. By day and night. Day and night. Day and night. He was with them day and night. You'll notice the cloud, the care, and the Lord's presence was constant. Constant. Now when it says in verse 22, he took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night. In other words, he took not his presence away by day nor by night. It was constant. Here we see that the Lord would always be with Israel. And if he'd always be with Israel, he'd always be with us. Just as David found that, he said, if I take the wings of the morning and fly to the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, thy right hand will hold me. You can read about that in Psalm 139, verses 7 to 12. Just as it was for Israel. He led them, he guided them, he never left them once. In the 40-odd years of going through the wilderness, the Lord was always there. Remember what he said to Moses? My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. We have a great God. We have a great Savior. Who will never leave us nor forsake us. Let's bow in prayer. Our dear Lord and loving Father, we come again to Thee to thank Thee for the truth of Thy Word, the truth that Thou will never leave us nor forsake us. And all the world could forsake us, and all the world could turn against us. But there'd be one who would be right beside us, showing us the way. O Lord, we thank Thee for Thy faithfulness, for Thy mercy and Thy grace, Thy loving kindness, how thou dost care for thy people. So, Lord, be with us now, today. Write this word upon our hearts. May we, Lord, think about it. And even when we're in the wilderness, may we think about this word and let it minister to our souls. Lord, be with us now throughout this day. Bless our time together with family, and return us, Lord, to thy house this evening to worship thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.